Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To find out more about our upcoming shows or access to our more than 1,600 podcast episodes, visit our website at www.biteradio.me. Today, my special guest is Alisa Das, author of Your Angelic Ancestry, Discover Your Angelic Name, Heritage, and Higher Purpose. The great archangels stand ready to support you in manifesting the fullness of your higher purpose, not only for this lifetime, but across many. Channeled directly from the angelic language, this book conveys the purest frequency of the great archangels, awakening your innate spiritual gifts and higher awareness. Drawing on her expertise from more than three decades of guiding thousands of students, Alisa Das offers engaging angel activities, experiential meditations, and true stories of angelic awakenings to bring the mystical teachings within this book to life. You'll receive the keys to connect with great archangels, leading to a living intimacy with God that makes ordinary moments shimmer with miracles, meaning, and delight. Alisa Das is an angel communicator, speaker, and spiritual teacher known for translating the angelic language and helping people reconnect with their divine lineage. With more than 30 years of experience, she is the author of Your Angelic Ancestry, host of the popular Live Your Love podcast, and has led more than 500 seminars worldwide. For more information, you can visit her website, which is www.alisadas.com, and that's A-L-I-S-H-A-D-A-S.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome Alisa to the show. Good day, Alisa.
Good day. I'm very delighted to be with you, Robert.
Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you. I haven't had an angelic conversation in a very long time, so I'm overdue for it.
Wonderful.
Good. So I like to usually start with finding out what inspired an author to write their particular book. So would you mind sharing what inspired you to write this book?
Absolutely. This is the book that I've really been writing for the last 20, 25 years, meaning it's based very much on my experience. So it was really a tremendous calling, where it was one of those things where I thought, if I were to transition tomorrow, what would I regret? And would it always be not writing this book? And then I got a two-book deal with Hay House, which was great because it gives you deadlines. So when you have 25, 30 years of material and you're trying to get it all in 250 pages, it's very helpful to have a deadline. That's what really got me to actually to finish it. And fortunately, I have a second book with them, so I'll be able to bring in more of those 25 years. But really, Robert, it was a very strong calling. It was a life or death situation, actually. I can tell you briefly, I was doing this work. I was working with people in groups and had been for many, many years, almost a couple decades at that point. But there was a next level to go to really share angels in this way that hasn't been shared very often. And I actually was diagnosed with very aggressive cancer. And I knew that it was about my expression, that there was another level of service to go to. And I remember saying to the angels, but I get the message, but couldn't it have come in a gentler way? and you know what they said, Robert?
What's that?
Apparently not.
Oh, that is so funny. Yeah.
And so when I really gave myself permission to really write this book and present the work in this way, I started healing, and I ended up being healed with no allopathic intervention, no chemo, no radiation, etc. And it was really just about saying yes to really following my calling and also showing the power, the healing power of the archangels.
Wow. That's truly amazing. And, there is something about having a deadline, that
yes.
kind of motivates someone. And the idea of, couldn't it have been a gentler way? It seems like, sometimes we have to get to the point of something very dramatic happening
mm-hmm.
before we move on it.
Absolutely. And I was, we can all be resistant to it. It's what the book, The War of Art, is about. But I was hesitant to, I was fearful to really present this in a way that does give the whole truth. And I was really delighted to see people have been receiving it. Like, I present this, what seems like a way out concept, and I see a sea of nodding heads. Even when I was presenting at a large business conference, and I'm talking about angels and in this way, and people are like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Well, that's
wow.
fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. So what were your fears? What were you fearful of?
I was fearful, one, that I didn't know how I was going to encapsulate a lifetime of experiences with angels in one book. I started talking to them consciously when I was 4 years old in the angelic language. And I think I really had a fear of, because, we can talk more about this in a bit, but the concept, the way I present angels, is very different than anyone else, than I've seen out there. I had vetted it over a couple decades with thousands of students. But to take it to the wide world, I was afraid of, I think, what many of us can be afraid of, is being ridiculed, being persecuted, or worse. And that's happened here and there, but kind of, so what? It reminds me of the Anais Nin quote of, at some point it becomes much more painful to remain coiled in a bud than it is to bloom.
Yeah. Wow. And I can understand, those fears, because when you're presenting something like this topic, there's bound to be those naysayers, who and skeptics, but then, that's, I think, with any particular subject, that's going to be the case. There will always be that kind of person. So.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Now, you described this work as Ancestry.com for the archangelic. So, and I think that's a wonderful metaphor for
people
who have actually worked with Ancestry.com
exactly.
to understand what it's about. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to know from whence we came. We certainly want to know to where we're going, but we also want to know what are our roots. And so in the book, and I present this in a very, there's a rare disease, I have a rare disease in my family, which is that everybody is an MD. Like, it's great, brother, sister, mother, father, and I was pre-med. and so I have this scientific mind of like, I need to see the efficacy of it. I need to see that this is, I need to see tangible results with people. And I did. So I kept presenting this information, and they kept getting these amazing results. So Ancestry.com for the angelic realm, it's that we can track back our celestial roots to the angelic. So the angelic realm predated this realm, the human realm. Many spiritual teachers call it a latter-day experiment. The angelic predated this realm by millions, zillions of years, right? I don't have a word big enough. And it's much more ancient than the human realm. And so many of us, and again, I lay it all out in the book, but many of us, if not most of us, were in the angelic realm for at least a field trip, if not many, many lifetimes, before we incarnated here into the human realm. And so when we were in the angelic, we were descended from these monolithic great archangels, and we can track back and see which ones, and it really increases our spiritual awareness, our awareness of God in the universe, whatever you want to call a higher power, because of course angels are that living conduit to spirit. And so we can track back and go, well, did I descend from an archangel Michael or a Raphael or a Gabriel, etc.? And it's not to go back there. It's to bring your, and it is archangelic, not just angelic, because I believe we had to be an archangel to be able to live and learn here. But we can, it's not about going back there. It's about bringing it all present into this moment so we can access all the gifts of angels that we all love. When we call someone an angel, you know, it's like they're sweet, mm-hmm. they're kind, they're spiritual, etc. And we can access all that and bring it present here.
Yeah. Now the idea of all of those MDs in your life, how did they react to your work?
Well, you know, it varied. They're also quite different. I mean, I'm a California girl, and they're all mm-hmm. in the deep South, you know, or rural Indiana, so a little bit different thinking. They, with varying degrees, there are a lot of studies on angels, believe it or not. So I would present mm-hmm. the science, and I got a doctorate, and so I had to produce measurable results. So of course my MD family loved that, you know,
right.
since I have empirical evidence in front of them. But you know, I wouldn't say they fully were on board, but much more when they saw that it was changing people's lives for the positive. And I was able, my father recently passed, but I was able to send him a very early draft of the book. And he's like, well, I don't know if I understand it all, but it's interesting. So,
well, that's good. That's
yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'm in South Carolina, so I understand.
Oh,
I understand that deep South mentality.
Yes. Oh, I love South Carolina. My family's in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah.
Neighbors.
Yes, ma'am. So now, what would you say to someone who is skeptical about the idea of the archangels and an archangelic name?
Well, and you know, it's funny. The book was called Your Archangelic Ancestry, but nobody could say archangelic, and so I changed it to angelic. So if they're skeptical, I would say, good, be skeptical. You want to be discerning because you know, if something sounds great, it doesn't mean it is great. So that, I think my scientific mind has actually served me well, but it's a great servant, not a great master.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we go into areas of intuition and spiritual and knowing, et cetera, our mind does have to, at some point, give up. And then we go into a higher mind, a higher knowing. So I would say, use your powerful mind and be discerning. And if you're skeptical, prioritize experiencing it over just believing it. Don't believe me, you know, but be open to experiencing that which really is universal. So they did a recent study, and here you can see my scientific background. They did a recent study, 2023, the Associated Press and the University of Chicago. Hard to get more objective than that, right? More clinical than that. So they polled, this particular poll was the U.S. They polled U.S. residents, and what they found is 69% of them believed in angels. That is a belief that transcends culture, gender, socioeconomic status, religion. More people believed in angels than believed in God.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And yeah, so they, you know, all these people, the vast majority, are believing in this invisible spiritual aspect of consciousness. And if that many people across all different religions and even no religions are believing in it, there's got to be something there. They go through all the religions, by the way. Judaism, of course, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, they have angels, and some of them call them angels, many do, and some don't necessarily call it angels, but they have different names for them, devas, etc., that are mm-hmm. intermediaries between God, the divine, and us.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the idea of being experiential, I think in all of the years, I've been doing this for 14 years, and I've had many, many medical professionals, some in the field of psychology, that that were not believers in anything in the realm of metaphysics, yet when they had an experience that truly demonstrated that realm, they were changed. I mean, their whole paradigm had to change because of that experience.
100%, Robert, and I think you said that so well. And, you know, our mind thinks, well, I have to understand it first, and then I'll know it or experience it. But it's actually the opposite with spiritual things. It's like falling in love. Remember when you first fell in love, right?
Yeah.
The first time, that first blush, and most of us would blush when we think of that. But, you know, we think our minds thought, oh, well, I just have to understand love. I have to understand it, you know, then I'll fall in love. And then, of course, you fall in love and boom, you don't know what's hit you, but you do know. But now that you've experienced love, falling in love, now you know what it is more. Now you understand it a lot more because now you've experienced it. You couldn't have thought your way into falling in love, right? None of us can.
Yeah.
It's not a mental construct. Same with angels. Same with God, same with spirit. We have to experience it first, as you say, and then we start to understand it and know what to do with it more. But we do have to surrender and open to that experience.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, when we're talking about one's archangelic name, now, and you mentioned several of the archangels, you know, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, those kinds of things. So what is one's archangelic name? I mean, is it just tracing back to that archangel, or is it something specific to the individual?
Yeah, it's very well. It's both. It's your archangelic name. You can know your archangelic name. So you, let's say God spoke and breathed into the cosmos, the angelic realm. And then it actually started with great archangels, very, very high monolithic beings, and then a long time later, archangels, and then an even longer time later, angels. Well, that word that spoke angels into existence is a name, and we can remember it. I, again, being the scientist, or spiritual scientist, if you will, when I sent out, when I wanted to present the concept of an angelic name, archangelic name in my book, I needed to know that people could get it on their own. Because for years, I would sit with people and help them remember their name. But obviously, there's only one of me, right? There's not that many people who hear or speak the angelic language, which is from whence your name comes. And so I kept breaking it down and breaking it down and breaking it down into doable steps and then into a meditation, which when people read the book, they do, then I don't get into angelic name until the sixth chapter because they need a strong basis to accurately remember their name. So we do only have one archangelic name, which we can recall, but two, and again, that's a guided meditation that's presented along with the book and a lot of ways to integrate that into your life. And there are many, 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 many archangelic names of great archangels, of archangels, etc. And some of those are ones we know, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, etc. And then there are angels, or great archangels, that have been serving in relative anonymity until now. And those are some of those I present in the book and will present more in future books. And those I receive from the angelic language.
Okay, so what is the angelic language? Or can you maybe give us an idea of what it is and, how someone can experience it? Is it through that meditation?
Well, and I want to back up just for one moment. The reason you have one archangelic name is because angels and humans evolve oppositely. And so angels are born, and I'm just talking regular angels, not archangels, are born in collective consciousness. They know they're all one. They remember God with every breath. They don't have individual souls.
Okay.
So, as an angel evolves over a long time, they evolve into an archangel, then they do have individual souls as an archangel. And that's why I say we needed to have evolved to an archangel, even if a minor archangel, before we can incarnate here on this realm with free choice, free will, right? Because angels don't have free will. Archangels do. When we humans incarnate once, meaning enter and go, well, I'm going to take individuation, have an individual soul, and see what that's like, right? And then we incarnate and we have many lifetimes. Meanwhile, we're going, wait, I thought this would be easier than this. This level is not always easy. But we have many bodies. One lifetime, we're Juan Rodriguez. And then, oops, we clutch our heart and wake up again as Ming Pao Chu in China. And then we slip on a rice paddy and we wake up again and now we're Susie Smith in Iowa. Right? So we have many bodies, many names. Angels are the opposite. They incarnate many times into the incarnation pattern every lifetime, but they have one body. When they die, their body scatters like a million points of silver and white light. They're back one with God. And then when they live again, they reformulate the same body with the same name. So that's why our archangelic name is so important to recall. When we recall that, you know, it said if you knew the name of the wind, you could control it. Or, you know, chanting names of God is a very common spiritual practice through Christianity, through Hinduism, Buddhism, etc. So that name is really, really important. And now that I've digressed, I've forgotten, the angelic language.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the angelic language is as close as human ears can hear, and even a little bit less close is as human lips can say. So it is a language that the angels speak, and there's been actually a lot of spiritual masters, saints, prophets who talked about it. Like Joan of Arc said, "I die for speaking the language of the angels." Mm-hmm. Emerson said, "The angels have their own language, and they will not distort their lips with the hissing of man. They speak their own language, whether any understand it or not." So there's a lot of quotes from spiritual masters about this language. And I started hearing it, as mentioned, when I was a very young child. But in rural Indiana, when you start telling people things about them that you couldn't possibly know, they get nervous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I kind of shut that off until I left home at 18. And then I started allowing it more, and it's just progressed ever since. So our name comes from the angelic language, and you do hear at least a few syllables of it when you recall your name.
Okay, well, good. Now, and starting at age four, it seems that so many intuitive people that I have spoken with have had had that experience at such a young age. Mm-hmm. It just seems that filter that
yes.
kind of pops in after you become socialized is not there, so that you can hear and feel and experience without any distortion.
I 100% agree. Yes, absolutely. You know, they say in Eastern traditions that the veil drops, meaning the veil of forgetfulness drops at around age seven. And you can kind of, and you know, in science, they say that seven is the end of childhood, which I thought that was really sad when I heard that when I had boys, you know. But you can kind of see that, can't you, with very young children. As you say, they're so open and connected to spirit and magic. And then somewhere along the way, unfortunately, we kind of get talked out of that.
Yeah. Now, I've had a couple people tell me that I believe that one of my guides, angels, is a clown because
I love it.
I will, you know, come up upon, young children, very young, you know, and they will not look directly at me, but they'll look off to the side and just crack up laughing. I mean, it's just like, you know, I'm not making any faces or anything, but I mean, and I've actually, you know, it's happened so often, I've even, you know, kind of did a little test, you know, my little own scientific test of, you know, exactly where they're looking and making sure I don't make any kind of faces, you know, to try and draw that out. But But yeah, I mean, it's they seem to be just so aware of, you know, that surrounding energy.
I completely agree. And I think it's, you know, I think as a child, we are closer to God, to spirit, yeah. Right? We didn't come from, it hadn't been so long. It wasn't 20, 30, 60 years. It mm-hmm. was 3 or 4. And so I think we remember that and we're more open to that. And you see many children who have these beautiful experiences. And then, you know, what's interesting is it kind of comes back when we're really old, right?
Mm-hmm.
I help all four of my parents. I had obviously a mother and a father, but then I had step-parents who had raised me since I was very young. And I helped all four of them die. And you do see when people are nearing transition, they start to see beings. They point, they talk to them. You know, it's very common in hospice that they're seeing. Now, I think they're seeing angels and spirit and Christ. And, you know, my father yeah. was Indian. And when he was passing, he started calling upon his Indian gods again. So, and it's just fascinating how we return to that, but we don't have to wait until we die to experience these incredible spiritual gifts of angels and guides and God.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. The important part is to be open to it. You certainly
yes.
have to have that, being receptive to those kinds of communications.
Well, I did mention that I am a nerd. I don't think I've confessed that yet, but I'm confessing that. And
okay.
so they have done many studies, psychological studies, that have proven that believing in some sort of higher power, some sort of deity,
mm-hmm.
is helpful on every level of health, physical, emotional, mental, even unconscious. So since it's healthy for us, why not be a little open? You know, I think,
yeah.
unfortunately, Robert, so many people have negative experiences with religion or even with spiritual groups. And it's so sad because that should be our safe place, but it isn't always.
Right.
But
yeah.
yet that's, for me, I'm Christian and Eastern because, again, my dad was Hindu. My mother was, you know, platinum blonde Southern Belle.
uh-huh.
And, you know, it's sad that so many people have these challenging experiences with religion or with spirituality, and they kind of blame God for that. And yet it's humans who do that, not spirit.
Yeah. The dogma, whenever dogma mm-hmm. enters the picture, it really confuses and really stifles that any kind of, you know, spiritual experience.
Regrettably, it really does. And it's so painful. I've had experiences with a spiritual organization that were so painful because that's supposed to be your safe space.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not always. But we can't kind of, blame God for that and sabotage our own well-being because of unfortunate things that might have happened at the hands of humans as opposed to spirit.
Yeah. Well, you know, and since each one of us is on our own path, you know, that for some people, the structure provided by, you know, a religious structure
mm-hmm.
is the kind of their way of easing into the idea of spirit. And you know, even in the energy of a congregation, you know, together,
yeah.
you can experience that. So, you know, that makes sense, but I think the important thing is to get, you know, to recognize that, then get to the point where you don't really need that supportive structure or group dynamic in order to experience the spiritual.
Yeah, or even if you choose, I 100% agree with what you said, and even if you choose to stay involved in your spiritual community, whatever it is, you have to, in my strong opinion, you have to go directly to spirit and not look to the leader, the pastor, the guru, et cetera, but go, it's direct. I can go direct to spirit. Certainly they're going to inspire me and teach me and maybe be a conduit for me, but ultimately I need to be sovereign over my own spiritual awakening.
Exactly. So now, how does your angel communication differ from other forms that are out there right now?
Oh, well, substantially. That's okay. My fear of writing the book, although I'm glad I did now, of course. So it differs, my angelic work, let's call it, certainly the communication differs in that I do hear the language of the angels. And that's what brought forward the book, because when you get it directly from the angelic language, there's not that filter we've been talking about where, so they really gave me the book, not channeled in the classic sense because I was cognizant, you know, I didn't give myself over and just say, okay, you do it. You know, I wrote it in concert with them. And when I was writing the book, I would get down on my knees and really just give it up. Every single session, and I would bring forward a message from them. And then some of those messages, I pretty much wrote down verbatim, and those are the messages in the book, you know, angel messages. And then the rest I edited because angels tend to speak very, it's lofty, and it's just rather formal. And it's hard to read a book that's all lofty and formal, right? So I certainly included those messages so you could get the pure energy of the angels. And then the rest I made very conversational with lots of stories because everybody loves stories. They're all true stories, either from myself or my students through the years. And so, you know, it reminds me, I think it was Wordsworth who said, all my work comes from the angels, but I don't hesitate to edit and block them out.
How funny.
Yeah, and so that was similar to me. Always I ask their permission, but it's different in that it does come directly from the angelic language, and it's different in that I'm saying to people, don't look outside of yourself for exotic beings. Angels, you're the same. Look from within, communicate with them directly. You absolutely can, and here's how. Don't feel like you're dependent, again, on a teacher, a pastor, a facilitator. Like, yes, allow them to inspire you, but ultimately you can go direct. And to me, that's always the best way. Like, so people feel empowered themselves directly from spirit.
Absolutely. I agree. And, you know, you mentioned the idea of some of the messages being kind of lofty. One of my challenges with learning from those lofty messages is the practical application. Yeah, I'm the kind of like, you know, I like lofty and I like, you know, uplifting and all that kind of thing. But I also want to know, how does that help me here now?
I think you must be a long lost member of my family.
Okay.
We all want evidence. And yeah. I like that because if someone who comes from an ultimately scientific background like me sees the truth of these invisible beings, to me, I think it helps people relate to it a little more rather than just going on faith. Faith is beautiful. Yes, please have faith. But experience, when you have the experience of something, then you don't have to have faith. You're going from direct knowing.
True. Now, what kind of, in those 30 years, what kind of transformations, can you give us an example or two of transformations people have experienced through your work?
Yeah, beautiful. You have such good questions, by the way.
Great. Thank you.
Of course. Oh, gosh, so many. Couple of my favorites. So I had a client for 5 years who was the practitioner, the doctor for the Dalai Lama, for His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And so he was a profound healer, of course. And he, when I started working with him to uncover his archangelic heritage, he, of course, he still kept his, again, we're talking about this discerning scientific mind, but he had such incredibly powerful experiences that he took his healing ability to another level. So he was an OMD, an Oriental Medical Doctor, or traditional Chinese medical physician. And instead of just prescribing plants and herbs to people, he started communicating with the essence of the plant and the essence of earth and with the spirit of earth, because when you open up to communication from the angels, you open up to communication from spirit directly. Why? Because they're God's tongues and mouths into this level. And so he was able to bring forward these elevated messages for people that was creating healings right and left. And he said it took his practice from really more purely physical to metaphysical, which was being reflected in physical results, my own included. He's the physician who, so he was my client for 5 years. And then when I was diagnosed with cancer, that was the first time I went to him as a physician, and he helped me clear the cancer, really helped me to allow spirit to clear the cancer through my own work. Because we need objectivity. We need someone outside of us sometimes to help us so that we are discerning and we are objective in our own work. And so he took his healing ability, which was already profound, to an entirely new level. And he started at 69. So never too late, not that that's so old, but never too late. And then another client was a 15-year-old daughter of a very prominent showbiz, really a legendary family. And she brought her to me with 5 suicide attempts.
Wow.
And so she was, kind of looked at me like really kind of daring me to tell her anything that the finest therapist hadn't told her. And again, I did register my protest with Archangel Michael when he said, let me speak through you to her. I'm like, Mr. Mogul was there and her aunt came and I'm like, great, I'm going to speak angel to Mr. Hollywood. And yet it was exactly what she needed. She got it. She went, oh, that's why this level is hard for me. That's why I often don't want to live. I'm comparing it to this other heavenly realm. And obviously she said it in a way a 15-year-old would. But, I did share messages from Archangel Michael, told her about her angelic heritage. And she went, and I looked at her and I said, how is this sitting with you? And she started crying and she said, it is completely weird, but I feel hopeful for the first time. So keep going.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They brought her to me with 5 suicide attempts, and she never after. So she started working with me, and I said, you got to show up on time. You got to be open. You got to really do the work. And she's like, she did. To her credit, she got her license shortly thereafter, and she lived 45 minutes to an hour from my home in the Palisades, and she came on time, usually early, for every week, and never once again did she hurt herself. Not only did she not try to kill herself, she was also doing a lot of self-mutilation, cuts and cutting and things. She never did it again. And that was 10 years ago, and she's thriving. She graduated from college, starting her own very successful business. So I love that success story.
Yeah, that is wonderful. So now, what do you feel that, because right now it seems that there are a lot of people out there really looking for clarity or direction, and things are just so chaotic, that sometimes it's hard to stay grounded. So what do you feel like maybe some of the reasons for that disconnect, and then what can people do to kind of become more grounded or gain clarity in direction?
I think it's so important to be grounded. It's so important. I mean, I'm the woo-woo spiritual lady, right? I think you also hear my scientific background, right? I think it's so important to be grounded. Here's the irony. I have taught grounding to people who've been on a spiritual path for 40, 50 years. Like, they are lofty beings. And they like the grounding the way I teach it, because I don't teach people to bring the earth energy up through you. You ground with the earth, and then you let your consciousness go up into more of lofty places, into the spirit. And you can actually go, they've been really surprised to find out they go a lot higher in their meditation if they are grounded, because we still have a small part of us. We still have an inner child that gets a little scared by all this stuff. So when we ground first, and there's lots of ways to do that. I mean, real simple ways are put your feet in the dirt. I like doing a grounding cord meditation. When we ground, then our younger part of us, even our mind, feels more held, and then will allow us the spiritual experiences. And also, of course, we're much more functional in the world when we're grounded and present.
Yeah. Gosh, Lisa, we are down to the end of the show already. Boy, this has just been really fast.
It has been.
So what do you hope that the readers are going to take away from reading your angelic ancestry?
Oh, that's a beautiful question. And by the way, it's been a true delight being with you, Robert. You have the best questions. Yes, absolutely. I'm gonna refer people to your podcast, yes.
Thank you.
Of course. I really hope people take away from it a much stronger sense of who they are, as a spiritual being when they access their archangelic heritage and name. My hope is, and what I've observed in thousands of people, is now they have a much stronger sense of who they are as a child of God, as a divine being, and then they learn to bring that forward so that life becomes much more magical, more mystical, and has a deeper purpose. And they can do that while still being a very contributing member of society, raising kids, running businesses, but with this sense that, one, they're never alone. They're always held by angels and through the angel spirit, right? But you don't have to go through the angels to get to spirit, but angels are God's eyes and ears and hands into this level. That they can connect to their guardian angels and the great archangels and know that all truly is well and they are deeply loved by their creator.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Now, I noticed that the book is to be released in July, and on your website, people can go ahead and pre-order, and also you have listed a couple release party kind of events going on, so people can go ahead there and check that out.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's so kind of you. And they can order it anywhere books are found, because Penguin Random House is distributing it. So Your Angelic Ancestry, you can order from Amazon or Barnes & Noble or where. In fact, for the next 3 days, Barnes & Noble is giving a 25% discount on it. So if they...
Well, hey.
Right?
Right.
Doesn't want to save some money. So they can go to Barnes & Noble. But if they want the bonuses, I have some amazing bonuses where all they do is then just come back to my website and fill out a 4-second form just to give their receipt number and then and their email, and then I will send them a 5-module course that they will get today and whenever they order the book, and the course is very easy to listen to as they, just like we listen to podcasts, or they can watch it. It's got videos and there's meditations to experience all this now, so they don't have to wait. The book's out very soon. It's out in a few weeks, but they don't even have to wait. They can start right away. And it's all free just for ordering one copy of the book. And then there's a VIP ticket to my online launch event with Andrew Harvey, Sonia Choquette, Marie Diamond, and Robert Holden, all spiritual luminaries. So they get a VIP ticket to that just for ordering one book.
That's great. Well, Elisa, this has really been a true delight, and I really want to thank you for your time and your insight.
It's been so my pleasure, Robert. Again, it's just been such a delight, and I really appreciate you sharing this work.
Great. Thank you. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Elisa Das, author of Your Angelic Ancestry, Discover Your Angelic Name, Heritage, and Higher Purpose. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.alishadas.com. And that's alishadas.com. And in closing, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.